listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 10, Episode 18 coming your way this week. Of course, it is the mid-season break, so tonight we're going to be going through each of the club's performances so far this season, and we're going to do our mid-season report card. So we'll give grades out to all of the teams for their efforts so far this season. We'll look back at the final round of matches before the break and pick through all the big headlines as well. Gary, how's the form?
Yeah, not too bad. Enjoyed the bank holiday weekend. Started off rightly on Friday night, and did you watch the Champions League final?
I did, yeah. Well, I watched it at work, but poor, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I had a few pints for it.
Yeah, you would have needed them, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't fantastic. I think, unfortunately, I ended up watching it with a few Arsenal fans, so it was a bit crack watching it for their sake. But, yeah, poor football. Yeah, wasn't really much to it, to be quite honest.
And no, it wasn't great.
I think PSG deservedly won it. So
yeah, hard to believe that Arsenal team won the Premier League, to be honest.
Yeah, I suppose. I did enjoy the ref blowing for half time mid corner kick. That was the highlight of the game, really. But other than that, I didn't give a shit, really. So
if that was a League of Ireland ref, we'd be saying, "Oh, main character energy from this man." But no, it was probably the highlight of the game, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I think like he had already taken so much time already, and then it veered into like 25 seconds after. So he was well within his right to tell Saka to shove it up his hole. So fair play to him for it.
I should say we're brought to you as ever by our sponsors, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. And we're also brought to you by our charity bet partners this season, Bar One Betting. Feckin' Shelburne again last week, Gary. We were joined by Mark Coyle on last week's pod. I thought that was a lucky omen. Great Shelburne man, of course, a league winner with the Reds. But it was Shells that let us both down for the charity bet again last week.
Yeah, bigger bollocks is us for putting them in.
At home, yeah.
Yeah, against Galway, it was a mistake. They did have a huge number of chances throughout the game. Like, I think they hit the post two or three times.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, no.
Same old yarn.
That's twice this season
they've done us. Here, another game that wasn't a classic last week that we were both watching, the Ireland Qatar game. What was your thoughts on that before we get the show up and running properly here?
I thought that sending off was a bit harsh. I thought Moylan was very good for the up to the sending off.
Yeah, the free kick was right below me. Brilliant cross. You feel sorry, like if a lad like Seamus Coleman got a red card there, you know, okay, it's not great, but Moylan on his home international debut, he was in tears leaving the pitch. You felt sorry for him.
Yeah, I did feel sorry for him. Probably not a bagging need to do it from the ref. We won't come back to that, but
definitely some main character energy from him anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But look, these things happen, you know what I mean? Like, you know, was it even an orange card? Possibly. But look, you know, shit happens. It was unfortunate and disappointed for him.
Yeah, probably killed the game. Not that it was a classic up in the last stage, but I definitely thought it sucked a bit out of us.
Yeah, I think so.
Just during the game as well, probably took away a bit of momentum. I was disappointed, I have to say, that Heimir didn't make more changes throughout the game. Like Mason Melia coming on for a minute, what was the benefit in that? The lad from Uma from Benfica came on and showed us a few tricks and flicks. Yeah. Would have been nice to see a few more minutes of him. I just felt...
What was the point of Seamus Coleman playing all that game?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's be real about it. Like, maybe there was some... You know, I know Qatar going to the World Cup, maybe there was some requirement to not have like a team of nobody's play or something like that. But
a lot of those players won't be going to Montreal next week. I think that's going to be a much more novice-y looking team than we had against Qatar. And obviously Canada are preparing for the World Cup. So, just disappointed we didn't see a bit more rotation throughout. Because, I mean, even with 10 men, we never looked in threat against Qatar. They are a poor, poor side. I know it's everyone saying it's hard to believe they're going to the World Cup. Look, it's easier to qualify from some regions than others. They beat Oman and the UAE in playoffs to get to the World Cup, whereas we had to try and get past the Czechs, having been in a group with Hungary and Portugal. That's just the way the cookie crumbles, I'm afraid. But it's hard. I don't think they even have that tough of a group, Qatar, from looking at it. I think Switzerland, Bosnia, and I'll just refresh my memory quickly who the other team in that group is. But
is it an African side, I think?
Yeah, I think you're right. Canada's in there as well, one of the host nations.
Oh, right. Oh, Jenny, okay.
But that's not a disastrous group. If Ireland were chucked in there, you'd be happy enough that you could mix it up for at least second spot in the group. But I don't think that Qatar team will score a single goal at the World Cup.
No, I think they're going to be definitely making up the numbers. But as you mentioned, like, you know, you qualify because of your region. I think there's talk of Australia trying to go back to, was it Oceania? To get back and make it a bit of a.
I wonder, could we do that? Could we go to Oceania, beat the Togo Islands or some of them boys,
Fiji and the rest.
Trips.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, imagine trying to get on the sky scanner to get to Fiji cheap. But yeah, look, they make up the World Cup, but plus we have to, was it a quarter of the countries that exist on the planet get to go to the World Cup now? You know, it's probably no surprise that there's going to be a lot of dross in there. I think a lot of people are. I think it reflects like the tickets and stuff like that. You know, Timbuktu is playing Timbuktu, and like, you know, no locals is going, no traveling fan, no one gives a shit. Like, whereas like you look down through the years, there probably wasn't a not sold out game in a very long time. So, it's part of the makeup of it. We'll watch every single second of it anyway. No doubt about that.
Yeah, Cape Verde beat Serbia 3-0 in a friendly last night. Pico led the first half, I think. That's encouraging.
That is encouraging. Where was that game?
Not sure, to be honest. I just seen the result.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, look, that's nice. You know, hopefully they could be one of the cool stories coming out of the World Cup. You know, country, first time there, getting out of the group would be an amazing achievement for them.
Mm-hmm. And Curaçao were 1-0 up in a friendly against Scotland there, and then they had a man sent off and lost 4-1. But look, we'll see how they get on. We're into the month of June now, I should say. So a few weeks away from one of the biggest days of my life, Gary. Kerry away.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I was chatting to one of the lads about it there the other day, actually. It'll be... What day is it? The 28th? 29th?
End of the month anyway. We have another few weeks.
Yeah.
To get ourselves ready.
Yeah, I'm going away myself now next week. Not to Mexico, unfortunately. Still not over it. And I don't know, just getting closer to the World Cup, like, I'm starting to really drag up the pain and suffering again. Kerry will be good. We still have we've round of games before that, so we can't just look that forward too quickly.
The last hurrah before the big event later in the summer, of course.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, look, we've spent enough time talking shite. Let's move into the Premier Division results on Friday. We'll kind of go through these quickly enough because we're going to be given the report cards and we can talk about some of these games then. But Bohemians bounced back from their Dublin derby heartache with a good 3-1 win in Sligo. I think I touched on it last week. They've got a really good record down at the Showgrounds in recent times and they enhanced it there with a 3-1 win. Dundalk beat Derry by 2-1. Dumigan scored an absolute screamer, but Derry didn't create too much beyond that. Drogheda 3, Waterford 3. Still small signs of improvement from Waterford of late, but still finding it hard to win games. Shelburne, as we touched on, let us down against Galway with a 1-1 draw. And Shamrock Rovers beat St. Pat's again by 2-0. Not only can Pat's not beat Rovers, they can very rarely ever score against them. So that's, what is it, an 8-point gap now at the top already?
Sounds about right. Yeah,
I think Pats do have a game in hand, but still, 8 points is a good little cushion for Rovers to have going into the break.
Yeah, it is. Like, look, Are we calling them already?
Sorry, eight points over Pats. They're six ahead of Bows.
Right, okay.
But Pats do have a game in hand.
Who's that game against? Do you know?
Can't remember. Which I will know. No, there's a few teams that haven't played, so there's a few. Yeah, there's a few teams with games in hand.
All right, okay.
But well, only one win in their last five. They've been playing like crap of late, Pats.
Yeah, they have been. And you know, I think you mentioned a couple of weeks ago that like any time anybody slips up, they're not there to pick up the pieces and you know, put a mark on anybody. Like Bows are second, and you know they went 2 months without winning a game. And they're still second, like it's crazy. But they've had a really productive last few games. They
it was 4 wins in their last five and should have at least got a point out of the Rovers game. So look, who was our listener last week that said I'm gonna raise a glass every time that some of you say streaky about Bows, but it's exactly what they are. Streaky as the rashers, them boys.
Yeah, they are, but like if they can, you know, get a bit of a longer run together, they're gonna keep on to Rovers, there's no doubt about it. Like Rovers drop points just as well as anybody else. They had a couple of losses heading into that Dublin derby. One was a crazy one against Sligo, which wasn't expected. So yeah, like they're capable of putting in a bad result now and then as well. So but look, I think the the concerning thing is that Pats have only that one win in five or six or whatever it is, and that was against Waterford.
Yeah,
so not exactly ideal. And even you know, they're not getting better Sunder, of course, but you know they're still dropping the easy points, and not laying a glove on Rovers again.
Is
concerning. Bit of a pain that record that they have. But yeah, look, I suppose thinking of it for over last year, halfway through the season now, they definitely take what they have, and being maybe not so far away points wise from Rovers, but they're still in the mix. They're still in third, comfortably in third to a degree, and have a game in hand over Bows, who are 2 points ahead. So it's not exactly a death sentence.
I suppose the other big story from Friday, it's not going to be a surprise that it was Derry's defeat in Oriel Park. Another very lacklustre display from Derry. Very small travelling crowd again. I know this is something we've touched on in recent podcasts. It's not to have a pop at Derry fans. I know some people will take it that way. They always do, but it's just to show the complete lack of connection, the complete lack of belief, that Derry fans have in their team at the moment. They brought very few up to Oriel, and they were deservedly beaten by a very, very good Dundalk side, who have been the surprise package of the first half of the season. So I'd imagine they'll be getting some very positive marks later on in the show.
Oh yeah, sure, look, if they were 10 points adrift, you'd probably give them a B anyway. But another really good result for Dundalk. It's not a surprising result. I think I put them in the old bet last week. It's just really disappointing. 4 wins all season is just unacceptable. It's just crap. It's just crap. When was the last time they won?
Waterford, wasn't it? I think that's the answer to that question generally most of the time.
No, is it? Hold on, let's just have a quick check here because it is a while ago.
The beat Shamrock Rovers.
Oh, yeah.
And
Shells at home.
Yeah.
That was
very much a false dawn.
It was a false dawn. But look, it's just shit. There's no two ways about it. I don't see where, you know, I've said this before about teams. And definitely for teams that do get rid of their manager, I think I said probably about, what's his name?
Decky Devine?
No, Daly.
Oh, John Daly, yeah.
Where it was very hard to see a corner to turn, never mind turning it. Like, where was the improvement? Where was that going to come from? Where was the positivity, the little bit of swagger that you need to go around to win games, that seems to be completely gone. I know I mentioned a couple of weeks ago or last week or whenever it was that I got a good bit of heat for highlighting the lack of character in the players, but you know, where's the character here now? Like where's, you know, where's the character of the manager running onto the pitch to have rows with an opposition player?
Yeah.
You know, like, that should be so far removed from Tiernan Lynch's brain because they're playing so poorly. Like, he shouldn't even know that shouldn't be on his radar for the next 50 years. But, you know, wow, you're showing a bit of passion after getting stuffed again. Yeah, it's just not good enough. And I don't really expect much news in that department. But yeah, Derry are lining up for another forgettable season.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it won't be forgettable at all because of how shit they are. But, you know, table-wise, achieving anything-wise, it will be forgettable.
Yeah, we took a bit of heat last week in some quarters for simply, you know, bringing up a listener's tweet. We had a question from a...
Oh, we shouldn't be platforming that.
Yeah. A listener, a loyal listener of the pod, a Derry fan of many years, sent in a question asking, is Tiernan Lynch the worst manager in League of Ireland history? And that didn't go down well in some quarters. But we did ask you on last week's pod to get in touch with who you thought was your team's worst manager down the years. And we did get plenty of replies there. There was the men who saved football from Dundalk, they said Trev Anderson. Christopher Miles, who's a Drogheda fan, he was only too happy to put up a Dundalk suggestion. He said Noel King, who we did mention on the pod last week. Again, the men who say football said honourable mentions to Jeff Kenna and Carlton Parham, at St. Pat's. Let's see who else. Someone said John Daly this season. There's plenty of names. It was well taken up there. Neil Fenn at Cork has to be up there. Somebody says.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, who's that?
And there was a suggestion for our old pal Shane Keegan at Galway as well.
Oh, that was their two-win season.
No, they had a really good team and they just couldn't keep the back door shut, unfortunately, and went down on the last day. They were beaten by a good Dundalk team.
Ah, okay. I forgot about that.
There was even a suggestion for Stephen Kenny at Rovers. I think there may be some personal agendas been played out here, but I thought it was enjoyable all the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So, that's the hotline. Hotline got us in a bit of bother last week, but we'll do it again this week anyway.
What's gonna happen here? Like, do you know what I mean? Is it just gonna be like the 20 games played? 16 games left.
I'd love to see Derry turn it around and Tiernan Lynch come out at the end of the season and say, shove it up your hole, boys. Look what I've done now. But I cannot see that happening. What I see happening now is another splurge of money being spent in the July window and Derry been no closer to rectifying their problems.
I know.
They're a team completely without identity. And they have been, I would say, throughout the Tiernan Lynch reign, and it probably started even before he arrived. I don't want to lay it all at his doorstep, but yeah. I think he has really struggled and failed, I would say, to adapt or adopt any sort of style. There's no substance about them. There's nothing to really get excited about there other than Michael Duffy go out there and score a hat trick. He came on in Oriel and Derry started to look more threatening once he came on, but like, that's been the cheat code for the last 2-3 seasons. They've spent a bag load of money and that still seems to be the only answer at the minute. Give it to Michael and see what he can do.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of what Alex Ferguson said about Van Persie. If you can't find Van Persie, you're not going to play. Which was fair at the time. He was a savage up front. But yeah, it does seem to be that, like all out of ideas unless Michael Duffy is available. And, you know, he's been out for a little while. Probably didn't win a game without him, I'd say. Maybe that's not true. I don't really care.
I just have a feeling the old ferry from the UK could be busy now over the next few weeks.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that. I was about to say, like, you know, who's out of contract in the championship in Scotland and that type of stuff, which is obviously, you know, we've been down there before and it hasn't worked. Sounds good, doesn't work. It comes to mind for here. What's the game plan here is very, doesn't seem to exist at all. And I think it's going to be a real mess of a close to the season for them. We talked about them for the last few minutes. What scorecard are you going to give them?
Let me just look at this table quickly. They're, 3 points above the relegation playoff with a game more played. Minus one goal difference, 4 wins. Drogheda, Galway, Sligo, all have more wins. I think you're teetering on an F there for Derry.
Straight F, yeah. No question about it. Yeah.
Shocking stuff. Look, we'll touch more on the Premier Division teams later in the show. Just to recap, First Division results from Friday. UCD 1, Athlone 0. You'll remember a few weeks ago on the pod, I said at the time when we were looking at the top five as it was then, I said that I felt Athlone were the most vulnerable team in the playoffs at the moment, and I expected them to fall out of it, and they have slid well down that table in the last few weeks. So I haven't got much right on the show this season. That's one thing I did get right. UCD beat them 1-0. Cork City running away with it, 4-0 winners against Finn Harps. Longford beat Tralee United 3-1. I'm sure we will talk about that game more in a second. You'll not let me just skip by that one. Cove Ramblers beat Kerry by 2-0. And Bray Wanderers won 4-0 against Wexford in what was Billy O'Neill's final game before his move to the UK. Where do you want to start, or is that a silly question?
No, I think we should definitely start at the town, start with a bit of positivity for us. Obviously,
I should have said this at the top of the show. We have got some audio with Tommy Barrett as well. I caught up with Tommy after the game. Good to see him. Hadn't seen him in a while. Sorry to cut across you, but I just wanted to say, for the team that's bottom of the division, I think we both agreed on this on commentary. For the team that's bottom of the division, I thought the work rate was there. They're definitely still playing for the manager. I didn't think they were a terrible side, I have to say. They reminded me of Longford from probably two seasons ago when Stephen Henderson came in, working their socks off, lacking in quality. Tralee United.
Yeah, I would be inclined to agree. I really didn't think they were as bad as the table suggests. I am surprised that they're bottom. I think they're a better team than Kerry. Would you say that?
As I said, it probably wasn't one of the worst performances I've seen this season at Bishopsgate from an away team.
Well, my point to that would be that I thought Kerry were far worse when they did come to Longford.
But look, you can have one-off days. I mean, Wexford are fifth in the table. They're obviously a much better team than Tralee, and I thought Wexford were actually one of the worst teams to come to Longford this season. So it's probably not the perfect science either. They are among the lowest scorers in the division. They are among the highest conceders. So on all metrics, they are the worst team in the division. But I looked at the squad the other day, and I know I always say it, but there's no real household names. Manning is there, who's played a lot of games at this level. He's never lived up to his potential, unfortunately. Obviously, never hit the heights that his brother has. He was trying to be the playmaker in the team. Up front, you know, they don't have a cute striker like an Enda Curran anymore. They've lost players like Mark Ludden in recent years. Jack Brady is so reliable, the most overworked, the best goalkeeper in the division, makes an absolutely horrific mistake in the first few minutes of the game and puts them on the back foot immediately. I mean, this is a team that haven't won an away game this season, and they go 1-0 down after 6 or 7 minutes, complete head loss from Jack Brady, who did now go on to make some good saves later in the game, as you'd expect them to do. That's a complete rarity, a mistake like that from him.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just something that they don't have the margin for, a mistake like that on the road.
No, that's exactly it. And I think that, you know, part of it is that with the amount of ball that Jack Brady sees, it's going to result in problems. You know what I mean? You're going to make a mistake, because if you're spending an inordinate amount of time with the ball at your feet and having to make probably too many decisions, you're going to make a hems of it once or twice. And unfortunately for Tralee and to Longford's benefit, it was on Friday night as well. it is frustrating, I think, from a treaty perspective that they don't have as many household names, but I don't think it's really down to that. They are missing a bit of quality, there's no question. But I think at that half of the table, I suppose actually, no, that's fair. Like a bit of quality would definitely would add 5 points to their tally this far, wouldn't it?
Mm.
You know, a couple of chances missed. But then again, like thinking about the game there on Friday, like I can't remember Cian Moore touching the ball in the first half.
No, and even the only save he had to make was a long range effort from Ben Lynch. Like he was,
which was a fantastic shot as well.
Yeah, I still would have expected the keeper to save it. They get a late goal through Ben Feeney. I think it took a deflection. I think he was well offside as well. But look, overall, just from some of the commentary, and I know we've touched on it at times, that there seems to be an over-the-top commentary about Treaty United at times from some quarters of their fan base. But from what we had been reading online about them, I didn't think they were as bad as I expected them to be. I mean, they're still only 2 points off Finn Harps in eighth. So, look, there's a lot of teams there that are at the same level. We've been saying that all season. It's kind of coved down to Athlone. There's not much to split third to seventh there at the minute, 6 points. So, it's been a tough start to the season for Treaty. It'd be nice if they could avoid the bottom spot for Longford. Probably made heavier lifting of it than needed to be.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, a great finish from Alex O'Brien to open the scoring and to capitalise on the mistake from Jack Brady. Probably got some 40 yards out of the goal. Unfortunately, Brady just couldn't get back, but Longford Town capitalised it very well to do so. Dean Williams scoring his first goal of the season. And very well taken. I thought he made a hames of it. but he, you know, did very well, kept his composure. Shows that quality, I think, as well, which is fantastic. And then Frank Campbell finishes it off after it became a bit of a squeaky bum time for Longford.
I would still worry a bit about Longford's game management. I didn't think they made harder work of it than needed against a limited Treaty United team. They seemed to allow the game to get away from them in periods where Treaty got on top and had more of the ball but weren't creating chances, but a better team would have punished Longford perhaps. So look, I suppose Longford are inexperienced themselves. Treaty United look very inexperienced. I know I mentioned the likes of Manning there, but aside from that, I think he's 26 and he's probably their oldest player. Maybe Jack Brady's slightly older, I'm not sure, but they're a very young team, Treaty United, and you can see they're lacking in that bit of quality, as we said, and Longford probably suffering from the same at times this season as well, a lack of experience. Look, I suppose we'll get to more of these First Division teams in a second or two when we give our report cards, but let's just let's hear from Tommy Barra after Friday night's game at Bishopsgate.
Tommy, another disappointing result on the road, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, I'm sick of saying performing well and losing, you know, but I thought overall decent performance, but silly mistakes.
Yeah, the first goal, 6 or 7 minutes in, Jack, he's been so reliable for you this season, and just, I suppose, not one of his better moments this season, to be disappointed with that.
Yeah, it was poor, he lost the head and just went out with the ball at the edge of the box and he cleared it, but, you know, he's pulled off a couple of good saves after that, so these things happen, you have to get on with it, and, you know, I think the second one I'm more disappointed in, because I had a word at half time about concentration levels, because we were well on top and we knew Longford are good on the break and good on the counter, and it was a decent ball, but like, our centre back has got to do a lot better now.
Myself and Gary obviously were on commentary, and we commented for the team that's bottom of the league, you really wouldn't know it from the performance and the effort levels. Even when your team went 3-1 down at the end, you still kept playing out and trying to get another goal, even though it was probably going to be nothing more than a consolation. So you must be pleased with the effort despite the result.
I say that to the lads, I'm pleased with the effort and the performances in terms of our attacking performance and our build-up play and all that kind of stuff is decent, but you know, we're conceding way too many goals, sloppy goals, individual errors. It's not like teams are opening us up massively massively. You know, like Longford had a few chances on the break there tonight, you know, but that's when we're going for the game, you know. But we need to be, we need to be more clinical in our defending, you know. We need to be concentrated for 90 minutes and just not concede, you know.
It's only yourselves and Kerry that haven't gotten away win yet this season. What do you put that down to? I know you've touched on the amount of goals you're giving away, but is there something that you can put your finger to that is a big issue away from home that maybe isn't at the Marcus Field?
No, I can't point out to any one thing, you know. You know, I felt tonight like, you know, we were as good as Longford. We had plenty of possession, you know. They took their chances, you know. They played a good game in terms of it. Had to work clinical in the finishing. We weren't. You know, when you go a goal down and you get a sloppy goal like that, you're chasing the game and they're sitting back and it's hard to break down. It is hard to break down. We don't have really wide players that are going to beat players and put balls in the box that we have to play through. So, you know, look, I just think we have to stay in games, probably win a few games, the way games ugly.
If you had won tonight, you would only be 1 point behind Longford, but obviously it's gone against you now. Are you fearful of becoming detached?
No, not really. I think if we get a good run of games, you know, I think we can beat anyone in the division, and I'd include any team in that. But you know, we just need to. We're young. I know there's a lot of teams in the league that are very young, but I think we're young in terms of minutes, and I even include minutes at high level underage, and that a lot of our players are coming through, and you know, they make silly errors, do silly things, probably not used to the competitive nature week in, week out. We have signed a few lads that have played enough games in the league, but there's some of the younger lads, like they're 21, 22, but they haven't played a whole pile of games, you know, and they're in key positions. Like our back five tonight, Ben Lynch was by far the oldest at 22, I think 23 now. Yeah. You know, Robbie and Kyle are still under 20, and Darren Owenko was 21, but like under 20 and 21 in Limerick region, and I'll get killed for saying this, is different than being under 20 and 21 in Dublin, you know, because the kids are playing at a higher level and a higher level of coaching early on, you know, and that's the reality of it.
When I say detached, I suppose there is teams around you. I think you're only a point behind Kerry maybe and Finn Harps. There's a few teams around you, but the playoffs, is that something you can even think about at this stage?
Look, Longford went on a good run last year, nearly got there, you know. They were well behind at this stage, but we have to get gritty and keep clean sheets. Are we capable of doing that? You know, we did it for three games in a row, but I felt we needed to open up a bit because we didn't look like scoring. There's no point in getting nil odds and draws all the time as well, so you have to go out and try to get wins. But we're going to have to try to go back to the basics and grind stuff out, you know.
Obviously you had a great start last season. I think you won the first three or four games, if I remember rightly. I was just looking before kickoff tonight, I think you're 12 points worse off than this time last year. Is that something you would have expected, and how do you go about rectifying that in the second half of the year?
We lost a lot of experience though. Cara Sullivan, Lee J, Lynch, you know, like Big Trip, even he was not that experienced, but you know, he was a handful. You know, Lee Davis is a huge loss, obviously, in the middle of the park, but you can see the young lads in the middle getting better and better every week, so they're getting games under their belt, so hopefully we can rectify the situation a bit. Look, playoffs are well away, but we did lose a lot of experience and we're building again.
Sounds like you could probably do with a bit of experience, something you can address in the window maybe.
Possibly, yeah. You know, again, the problem we have is like we've lads on contracts and we've two houses full down there. You know, lads are working in college, and it's difficult. We're not going to get many more houses, and we have probably the best players around in the region, so they have to be within an hour's drive, you know.
But look, best luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
We really hope you're enjoying this week's episode. Feel free to show your support by leaving a rating or review wherever you're listening. You can also support the show by buying us a virtual beer or coffee via buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI, where you can also join our members club for all the latest exclusive BTS content.
Okay, great to hear from Tommy Barrett. Right, let's start by looking at these report cards then, Gary, or dishing them out. We'll start with the teams in the first division, and I suppose we'll just go through these in random order, otherwise we'll end up with just A, B, C, D, E and F all the way down. But what have you made of UCD's start to the season?
Yeah, I'd be definitely, you know, they're only one holding a candle next or near Cork.
12 point gap.
Yeah, but who else is closer than them? No one.
Mm.
I think we saw the cream rise to the top when they played down in Munster FA, Turner's Cross, hit him there last month or a few weeks ago. Where after Cork had their bad start, after bad bank holiday, UCD went down and they were duly beaten. So while UCD are the next team there, they're still miles away, and so is everybody else. But they can only do what they can. 30 points from 18 games isn't too bad.
No.
I'm going to give them a B plus.
Yeah, going to go exactly the same. Three losses in their last four. Just saw a bit of that positivity from the start of the season. Just peter out a little bit, but overall, they've been very, very impressive. And I think I said it before that of all the teams I've watched this season, probably the most impressive performance I've seen from a team when they came down to Bishopsgate.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was in a 0-0 draw, and I was still very impressed with them.
Yeah, so, they were quite good. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But look, shinnet.
Cove Ramblers, slow start, but they've picked it up a late. Three wins in a row.
Yeah, they've picked it up a late. I think the obviously with the loss of Barry Coffey and stuff like that is obviously hard to recover from. But I have been quite disappointed. I would have expected just a bit more, to be quite honest. They're third, 2 points behind UCD. Like, you can't be too harsh on them either.
No.
I'm going to go for a straight B.
Yeah, I'll go a B minus there. Their home form probably hasn't been as strong as you'd expect from Cove Ramblers. What about Bray? They've been patchy as well at times.
They've been patchy. They're the Bulls of the first division. They're streaky all over the place. A couple of really bad results, went on a bad run as well. Lost Longford in Bishopsgate. But yeah, they've been quite hot and cold throughout the season, I felt. But still do have enough quality. I know they're losing Billy O'Neill, but he hasn't played in a huge amount. It's sort of Pelle that was leaving the team there. We're going on about. But look, I'm going to go for another B.
Yeah, I'll back you up on that. Wexford?
Squeezing into the playoff positions at this point is probably fair enough. Wasn't impressed with them anytime I've seen them this year, which is twice. And then getting filled in 4-0 there the other day on top of it. I'm just not convinced by them, or their manager for that matter. I'm going to go for the C.
I'm going to back you on the C. Just, do you want to elaborate on your doubt about Stephen Elliott?
I just don't see it. I don't know what it is. I find it hard to put my finger on it.
I could be totally wrong on this, but I think Wexford fans would generally disagree with you on that.
Yeah, and absolutely fine. Sure, I'm right and everyone else is wrong. like last year was, very disappointing result for them, finishing versus the seventh of the table after poor stretches throughout the season. I'm not sure if I would have expected more. It's just a feeling I have. I can't quite quantify it. It's just vibes.
That's fair enough. Athlone Town.
Good start to the season. Felt a shite. I think you've mentioned it every single time since you said it that you had highlighted them to drop away out of the playoffs. And that's true enough. They did lose their was Oisín Hand the captain for a period or
not sure if he was captain, but obviously
I think he might have been when Connolly was injured, I think. Or maybe I might be making that up, but he's out for the season.
Well, they have had a lot of injuries, but look, I'm just how long since they won a game now? They've lost their last three. They haven't won any of their last five. They haven't won since they beat Finn Harps back on the 24th of April. So it's six games without a win now. Look, this time last year, just looking at the table here from this time last year, they only had 14 points. They've got 22 now. So, look, a blind man can see they've improved. And I think one thing me and you praised them on when we watched them in the two games against Longford was their work rate off the ball in particular. They looked a lot more organised in that regard than they did last year where they were just so easy to play against. So I think Ian Ryan has them working hard. I do just think, even with some of the players they brought in there, I still think they lack quality. I still think they're prone to a bit of a brain fart at the back.
Yeah.
You give them credit for improving, but I think I'd be looking at the very highest here, a C. It's probably a C minus for Athlone.
Yeah, I'd be in very in line with that. Definitely some disappointing results. I know the... But it couldn't have been any worse than last year. Like, I think it's not...
No, it's a low bar for improvement.
Yeah, big time. So, like, I'm not going to go, Jesus, boys, you're better than one of the worst returns in the first division season. So, well done for that. But also, you know, you may hang up your boots if you're going to return in the same as that last year. So, fine in one sense. But, yeah, look, they needed to be a lot better. And they have done that, but... I don't think to the degree that is required. So yeah, C is fine.
And what about their Midland rivals, Longford Town?
Well, A plus.
it's like that Trump clip. How would you rate your term? Well, I'd give myself an A plus. I don't want to do it, but I'll do it. whatever you said, whatever it is.
I'm going to go with a B. The reason for that is they've actually scored more than the same point last year, and they conceded far less.
Have they scored more than this time last year?
I think it's like one or two more. Go and get that website I told you about there.
I'm looking at it here. 15 this time last year, and yeah, they scored one more goal.
Yeah,
but I've imagined defensively they've improved massively. They had conceded 34 this time last year, and they've conceded 18. So, yeah, they have improved defensively massively. I still think they're struggling to create. I still thought there was signs of that on Friday, even though they scored three goals. That's something they're going to have to improve on at the second half of the season if they want to get into the playoffs. But I think they're 7 points better off than this time last year. So they definitely have improved. Expectation would have been, look, they only just missed out on the playoffs last season, so the obvious goal is to go one better and try and break that top five.
Yeah.
But if they're there or thereabouts where they are now, 3 points behind with a couple of games to go, I think most Town fans would accept that. So I thought you were being generous at first, but I'll probably follow you and go with a B.
Yeah, like I think particularly with the stuff at the back, like last year, you know, there was a lot of games where you're like, Janie Mack, how are they conceding these goals? And that has been eradicated to a large extent. So, at least for my mental health, it's a lot better. So,
yeah,
I'm going to have to stay with that.
Okay. Finn Harps?
They're probably in and around where they were last year, I would say. Last year...
No, they're actually 3 points better off this time around than they were last year. And they have played a game fewer last year. So, they're in or around where they were last year. This time last year, 21 scored, 26 conceded. This season, 17 scored, 28. So, they're not scoring many goals. What are they? They're 7 points outside of the playoffs. I don't see them as a playoff team. But then again, I've said it a few times, I don't think there's that much difference between them and Longford, to be honest. Maybe slightly less quality. Definitely defensively, they've conceded 10 more than Longford. So I think Longford are making progress that bit quicker than Finn Harps are. It's fair to say. The stats obviously back that up, with Longford being 7 points better off than last year and Harps in around where they were. So yeah, we probably haven't seen much improvement from Finn Harps, to be honest.
No, not to the required amount. I'm going to go for a C.
I'll just go for a... Would a D be very harsh, would it?
Think so.
I don't really see how the object every year is to try and improve. You know, we talk about Ballybuffet being a fortress down the years. They actually have the second worst home record. And they got one of the weakest away. No, I'm going to go for a D. There's not as much improvement there as I would like. But look, I didn't expect Harps to dramatically improve from last year. They just don't have the resources at this moment in time, in all honesty. Treaty United?
Definitely with all the players that they left, it was always going to be a real struggle. Jack Brady going down there was a bit of a coup back to one of his former teams. But look, it's been a very difficult season for them. They look, you know, 100 miles away from any playoff position.
But they're not 100 miles away from the teams around them. We're just talking about Harps there. They actually have a one goal better difference than Harps, and they're only 3 points behind them. So I think I'll just go D again there, because they're working hard. They're trying. They just don't have the quality.
No question about that.
Now, a different story could be Kerry. Because they invested heavily. Now, we didn't buy into the hype like some. Some people tipped them for promotion. I remember reading a betting article where they were tipped for the title each way. So we didn't buy into that from day one. Is that
betting organization still in existence?
It was the Race and Post.
Who wrote that?
I'll tell you who wrote it. No, look, it's probably been a lot more disappointing than we expected. We have got some tweets from Kerry fans for the hotline later on. The hotline's still going, despite some people trying to shut us down. But no, it's been very, very disappointing from Kerry.
Yeah, it has. They've had a very few positive moments this season. A couple of draws that they saved from defeat. I think there was one in Bray, or one in Mount Hawk, I think, that they got out of Bray, maybe.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
but those are very few, very few shining lights throughout the season.
Beat Cork, that was the big one.
Beat Cork. Yeah, that's fair enough.
And beat Wexford as well, which was a good result. But themselves and Treaty are the only two teams without an away win. Can't overlook that. And I think someone pointed out in the hotline, it's a year since Kerry won an away game. So again, a bit like Harps, we're not seeing the improvement we would have hoped for. But Kerry, there was improvement expected because of the investment that's gone in there. Whereas Harps, I don't think they've had the same level of investment. So I would have
And with Heatley going in there as well.
Yeah. Kerry can't control the narrative that's out there about other people's expectations. It'd be interesting to see compared to last year. This time last year, they had 18 points, and at the moment, they have 16. So, yeah, no, F.
Yeah, I think F is fair. But while they can't control other people's expectations of them, but you know, your eyes don't lie to you either. Mm. You know, they did bring in players. Kelleher is fit. I know he's not 1,000,000% fit, but he's back playing football and he is scoring goals. He's doing his bit. It doesn't seem to.
I know we said earlier it's not a perfect science to say judge teams on when we see them, because it's a one-off game. You're not looking at them every week generally, unless you're dipping in and out of games on LOI TV. But Kerry's performance in Longford was the worst performance I've seen this season from a team.
Yeah, 100%. It was.
And
dire.
They were one of the only teams this season where I could maybe question the work rate of certain players as well.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we spoke about Vincent Borden came on from the bench that day, and he was absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
And just the demeanour of certain players, head down in the chest, didn't look good. So I think Kerry have got a lot of problems, and I'm going to give them an F grade.
Yeah, 100%.
And we'll just leave it with Cork City then. I know they had them two defeats, but 12 points clear at the mid-season break. Dundalk weren't even anywhere near this far clear last season, and I think that was a much better team than this Cork team is. So you can only give them an A.
You can indeed. Two losses all year, only 11 conceded.
Yeah.
Which is a great achievement. But 34 goals scored is just sensational. And they're deservedly top of the table.
yeah, what's there, what else is there to say?
Yeah. Dundalk were only sixth clear this time last year.
And a question for you. Last year we mentioned, like we'll say, about the purchasing of players, and actually thinking of a particular player that we looked at for at loan, Declan McDade.
Mm.
I know we, well, I was definitely questioning why are you signing him in the mid, you know, this time last year.
Yeah.
In the midsummer window. What was he going to do for you in the Premier?
Mm.
But he is getting his game in the Premier.
Doing very well, yep.
Yeah, exactly. So do you think, you know,
planning ahead?
Yeah, what are they going to do?
Well, I remember we had this conversation. We thought Galway had it kind of planned out to a T a few years ago when they were miles clear and they brought in A. Dervin and they brought in Aukara from Waterford.
Yeah.
And neither of them went on to be mainstays in the first team. Now, Dervin had little runs here and there. But those signings didn't really work out. And I can't think of too many examples in recent years where players have come in. I'm just trying to think, when Cork were last in, did Maguire come home in the summer of 24? Am I right in saying that? They signed Shawny Maguire in the, and Keaton.
Sounds familiar, yeah.
They signed them, yeah. So it'd be interesting to see what they do. I don't really know how they'll approach it, to be honest.
Do you think they're, you don't think they're any better than what Dundalk were last year?
No, I mean, we look like egots now, which is most weeks, but we weren't that impressed with that Dundalk team last season when we talked about them on the pod in terms of their first division exploits. They've dramatically improved since, I mean, Arubi wasn't getting a look in at the start of last season, and then it was only in the kind of second half of the season he caught fire for Dundalk, and he's gone on obviously to be a massive player for them this season. Got called into the Irish under-21s today. You mentioned McDade, he left that loan, and we had seen him just before he left that loan. He was playing against Longford and went off after 20 minutes, and don't want to be harsh, but I'd say if you asked him himself, he'd tell you he wasn't in the best shape physically, and he looked very disinterested. We couldn't believe he'd been signed by Dundalk, but a few weeks of full-time training up there and he looked a different human being altogether.
Yeah, and do you know what? Fair play to him.
Yeah, no, 100%. Fair, and yeah, fair play to all the coaching staff at Dundalk for getting them to turn around so quickly. But I suppose it's just difficult to know how teams will plan for the future.
Yeah, that's definitely true. It's hard to know what way you want to make a stab at it. Like, you know, we all believe that Cork are going to win the division and get promoted. What are they going to look like off the field? Or not off the field, but like while they're doing their business, they're going to start rooting at it now and sign players down that they want to.
Of course, they've got a manager in from the UK, so maybe he'll have some contacts over there. Then again, are you going to bring lads across now when you're playing in the first division? Gate receipts are well down on what they'll be next year. Can you afford to be bringing lads across right now? There's a lot going on there.
Well, there is, but also, like, you know, if these are players that you're interested in, next year, you know, they're picked up by someone else on a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, some place that we've never heard of. I don't know. Whatever. Haven't in Waterlooville. We have heard of them, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, you're not going to be, well, lad, do you want to come down and try and keep us in the Premier Division in Ireland? Yeah, that's a harder set as well. So obviously a difficult one to marry up, and it's a definite decision that they need to start making, because, you know, 5 games into the season next year and there's 1 or 2 points on the board.
Yeah, no, look, they've left it way too late. They've left it way too late, the recruitment in recent seasons. So if they do make a head start on it, probably no harm. Right, let's look at the Premier Division teams then, and we will start with Shelburne.
I think, while it is an achievement to, are they top of the table when it comes to away form?
They are second to Bowes on the away table, but they've won less games. So there you go.
Other than that, it's been a really poor season. Not really poor, but like it has been poor.
Been underwhelming.
Very underwhelming. I know they're fifth. They're, you know, 6 points behind Pats. But like, imagine if you had, you know, couple more wins at home, games that you were expected to do well in, how good of a season you'd be having. You know, you'd be rightly up there in the up the air, I suppose, and Pat. So it's just very frustrating. I'd be looking to give them a C. I think obviously needs improvement, but like the points that they're throwing away at home is just unforgivable.
Yeah, yeah, I'd agree with that. Who will we go for next? Let's go for a positive one next. Let's go to Dundalk.
Well, what's positive about that?
Well, I think it's going to be an A for Dundalk.
Yeah. Can't really disagree with that in the slightest.
I'm shocked.
As I said, your eyes don't lie to you. There's a lot of, apart from like the table and stuff like that, but like they've had some really enjoyable wins. They beat Rovers a few weeks ago, beat Derry there the other night, which isn't much of an achievement,
that's,
really.
That's nothing to really shout about.
Yeah.
But the way they've gone about it, they're the joint top scorers in the division, very entertaining to watch. The wins they've had lately against Derry and against Rovers and picking up results against Drogheda and Waterford, okay, their games, they'd probably be disappointed they didn't win. But they've achieved those points of late without a lot of key players. Like Vinnie Leonard, I doubt we'll see him again in a Dundalk jersey now before he goes across to the UK. Mayo has been out. So there's been games where they've had no natural centre-back on the pitch. Connor Kearns had that horrific injury earlier in the season. Danny Mullen's been out. Darrell Horgan's been kind of having to go off in games recently. Ed Irvine in and out of the team with a couple of suspensions this year. They've coped with all of that for a newly promoted team extremely well.
Yeah, they have. They're safe.
You
know,
yeah.
You know, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Absolutely. Well, look, you know, if me and he had stones, I think they're
a European contender, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the one concern I have is hopefully the break will do everybody the world of good and they get a bit of rest into their body.
The window is obviously huge and clubs like Shells and Derry at this moment in time have a lot more cash probably flowing around than Dundalk. Shells, if they can get a striker and maybe an extra couple of defenders in there, then that could see big improvement in the second half season. I don't think Derry are going to improve until they change the manager, to be honest. I think that's just as simple as that. And then the teams below that are obviously Galway, Drogheda, Sligo, Waterford. They're not challenging for Europe. So Dundalk probably have to continue to hope that Shells and Derry underperform, and they obviously need to continue at the levels that they're performing at. But when they get all those players back and maybe they can do a bit of business of their own as well, then there's no reason they can't finish in the top four and hope that the cup, they either win the cup or a cup result goes their way.
Yeah, there's a lot of ifs there at the same time, though. Like there's
but look, the fact we're having this conversation just tells us how well Dundalk have done.
Yeah, of course. It's been a fantastic season. They've really outperformed everything.
Another thing we often take into account when we're doing these grades, there's often stuff going on off the pitch at certain clubs, and we take that into account at times. There's been no shite from Dundalk this season.
No, there hasn't. Which is surprising in itself.
Yeah.
They've probably ran out of shite to put out there. Like, do you know what I mean? They've really oversubscribed to that in the last few years, but they've done quite well. There seems to be a far more settled spot in the last few years. And look, there has to be a lot of credit given to staff at the club, but also to Kilduff. He's managed his first season in the Premier Division extremely well. He's managed a lot of injuries and stuff like that, but also they've been playing extremely well. They're very intensive, work extremely hard.
Seems the type of manager doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low, just keeps everyone where they need to be. So I've said it before, I've been very, very impressed with Kieran Kilduff. Of course, he learned a lot off Stephen Kenny, I'm sure. What have you made of Kenny's Pats so far?
They're still third in the table, 8 points off top. I think the concern is that, like, I'm not sure will they be beating Rovers anytime soon.
2 points better off than this time last year.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, look. Well, like at the start of the season, particularly after those first two games, we wrote Pats off. We said they wouldn't do anything this season. Now, it still looks like they probably won't win the league. But if you had said to us after those first two games that, you know, up until recently they were going to be neck and neck with Rovers, then we would have been very pleasantly surprised. So it's been much more like the Pats we saw when Kenny first came in there compared to the complete shit show they were last season. So I think they have improved. They haven't improved massively. They're 2 points, as I said, and coming from a low bar because last season was just so disastrous. And they have had players in and out again with injury as well, and obviously don't have Mason Melia this year. So I think it's definitely been a lot more positive than negative from Pat, scoring plenty of goals as well. Recency bias can obviously play a big part in these type of things. So we're probably looking at them a bit harshly after failing to win any of their last three and only one win of their last five and 8 points behind Rovers now. But
is it not concerning that they're not beating Rovers? Or close to beating them. Like, I know that's
like they were a long way behind them last season. So, you know, was it ever realistic to expect them to bridge that gap in one season? Probably not. I think I'd go with a B for Pats.
Yeah, same. I was definitely in that ballpark. I know, maybe just being a bit critical, but
I think there's a desperation from everyone out there for a proper title race, and Rovers winning title after title. Some people view it as not been great for the league's image. I think everyone just wants to see a couple of seasons ago. I don't think it was, in terms of quality, the greatest title race we ever had between Shelburne and Rovers. And I think Derry were kind of hanging around in it as well for a while. But the drama we got on that last day, the viewing figures, everything, the media coverage spoke for itself. And I think that's everyone wants to see that kind of happen year after year. And look, it's so rare that you get these title races. Look what happened in Scotland this season. It's so rare you ever get an occasion like that. I think that's what everyone's hoping for every season in the league. And unfortunately, we don't seem to get it too often. And Rovers are winning with a bit in hand and a bit to spare. And I think that's the fear. So maybe we're being a bit harsh on Pat. So I try and keep it kind of level there with a B.
Yeah, that's fair. Yep.
Bose, give me your thoughts on them. Because you were as you said, you were on the Bose train early in the year.
I was, yeah. And
Are you still on that train? Are you half hanging out the door? What way are you?
I'm half hanging out the door. but they've made a good fist of it there in the last month or 6 weeks or so. Some really good results. They're scoring again.
If you want to take recency bias into it, over the last five matches, they're the most informed team in the country.
Yeah, by a decent journey, I'd say. But also, you know, they've been obviously very disappointed with the result in Daily Mount a couple of weeks ago against Rovers.
But the performance was good.
Performance was good. The one concern, I was going to say, like, they were really struggling to score goals, but then they followed that up with
I would have said the same. They're struggling to score goals, but they're joint top scorers.
They're joint
in the
top
league.
Scorers, yeah. But that was something that has changed lately. To be fair,
I think it's not so much that they're struggling to score goals. I think it's they're struggling to be clinical at key matches and games. I mean, I think of a game I was at down in Drogheda, which ended 0-0. Now, Bowes, they were terrible for the first half hour and they should have been 3-0 down. But then they missed, Colin Wheeler missed a couple of one-on-one situations and they could have ended up winning that game 2-3 in the end. Yeah. The Dublin Derby a couple of weeks ago, again, another game where they had, 24 shots and only 4 on target. It's not so much they're struggling to score goals. They're not efficient with the amount of possession they have, with the creative players they have. They should be scoring more goals.
Yes.
Is the key point.
No, it is, but also their level on goals scored this season, and they've only conceded 21 so far. So there has been major improvements, I feel, under Rennie this year. I'm going to go for a B.
I'm going for a B as well. I think, again, looking ahead to what some of these teams need to do, it's no secret Bowes need to get a centre forward in there, because unfortunately for Colin Whelan, I'm not sure he's ever going to hit the heights that he promised to hit. It just, those injuries, so difficult to come back from. He shows us glimpses all the time. I'm just not seeing enough from him. Douglas James Taylor, it's been a very disappointing stint at Bowes for him.
Yeah, hasn't
if
worked.
They could convince a Georgie Kelly, an Afolabi to come back. I know you're not keen on bringing the band back together type stuff at Bowes, but if they could get a player like that in, you'd have to think it kicks them on another level again.
Yeah, to a degree, but like, yes, Douglas James Taylor, it hasn't worked to the degree that it was hoped.
No.
What do you do there, though? Like, you can't. Like, I know you can get someone else in, but I don't know. I think he has enough of it, because didn't he miss the first lock of games this season as well?
Yeah, but
scored the other night.
You've got two strikers there that could be out for extended periods at any given time, really.
That's true. Do you think, just on Whelan, and I don't mean to be, I don't mean this in a bad way, but like, is like the first division?
No. I don't think we're there. I was even going to suggest, I think what might happen with him eventually is he drops into more of a number 10 than an out and out striker. But they obviously have a lot of very good midfielders. Dawson plays deeper, pulls the strings from deep, but you've got Ross Tierney coming in off the flank. You've got Rooney over on the other flank. Maybe there is space from there as a 10. I don't know, but definitely a player to have in the squad for sure. But is he the lad that's going to get you big, big goals? I don't think he probably is, in all honesty. Look, we'll move on. We're going to go down the table towards mid-table Derry City. We've given our grade on this already. F. We're F, yeah.
Yeah. F for absolutely shite.
Well, I think it stands for failure, but anyway.
Yeah.
Look, we've kind of said our piece on this, haven't we?
Yeah, no, it's very disappointing. I'd really hate to be a Derry fan right now.
Yep. Galway?
I'm going to give a C. I think... definitely one of the highlights is probably Tuarte coming back. He's having a good season so far. Scored a few goals. But a real contributor as well. But other than that, like, they've had some decent results. But like, is that maybe, is he even a hard, being harsh? Like, what's the expectation here?
Yeah, like, I had them pitched for bottom at the start of the year. So I'd be happy enough with where they are. I think they've been very competitive in every game. Scoring more goals probably than...
Yeah.
I'm just hoping to see. Yeah, 21 scored last year, 21 conceded. And at the moment, 26 scored and 29 conceded. So they have conceded more than we probably would like to see from them. I don't think... what's the chap that was with Athlone and Franz Perrault hasn't probably hit the heights we would have hoped. But as you said, Twardek's been kind of the dark horse signing that's done really well. So I suppose that balances out in terms of recruitment. No, look, I think they are where they should be, to be honest. So I think a C is perfectly fair.
Fair enough, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Drogheda?
I think a C as well. I think it's just been a very difficult first half of the season. Between all the off-the-field stuff going on, there hasn't been that much peace and quiet. So maybe C has been a little bit harsh. But, you know, they're 2 points out of the playoff position for relegation. So that's not a success, no matter what way you cut it.
Yeah, look, they've definitely had one of the biggest drop-offs from this time last year. They're 9 points worse off than last year. Now, look, last year they had an unbelievable start and they were mixing it for Europe. I suppose the problem I have with this Drogheda team is their lack of threat up front. I don't think Mark Doyle has hit the levels of the past. Yeah. Thomas Alua is not a goal getter. They've lost.
Rodden hasn't done anything since his first game of the season.
They lost Darren Markey and replaced him with Brandon Kavanagh. And I was talking to Drogheda fans at the Derby recently. They were very disappointed with Brandon so far this season. I haven't seen enough of them to comment on that, but just from speaking to Drogheda fans, they were very disappointed. We've seen the ultra-reliable from last season, Luke Dennison, lose his place in the team. So, yeah, even players like kind of Shane Farrell, Ryan Brennan, we probably haven't been talking about them on the pod as much as we were last year. So, yeah, no, there has been a drop-off from Drogheda. You could argue that this is simply a case of them coming back to maybe where most people would expect them to be, that last season was maybe a false height that was hit. But look, we can only judge them on
what we have in front of us now.
And I'm becoming more worried for Drogheda as the season goes on. I think if they can get, if they can work their connections and their network in England and get a centre forward in, hopefully find a Freddie Draper or a Douglas James Taylor again, then that could be great, and they could go on a great run in the second half of the season. Who knows, they might win the cup again or whatever. But at this moment in time, with the personnel they have, I think getting goals is going to be very difficult in the second half of the season for Drogheda.
Yeah, it seems to be the case. I think it's been a difficult one. Like, what, how many goals did you say that they have scored fewer than last year?
So they've only scored, what, 25 so far this season, and this time last year they had scored 25 as well, so there's no difference there. But they'd only conceded 19 last year, and they've conceded 32.
Some swing.
32, that's some swing.
Yeah, yeah. And even for a boy that you know, was probably one of the player of the season for them last year, Keady, he'd be disappointed with that, and they'll have to make a change.
And that's like Conor Keighley, Andy Quinn still there, Conor Kane still there. Again, Conor Kane's a lad I don't think we've mentioned him once on the pod this season, whereas last year I was raving about how he had been back to his pre-injury levels.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then the change in the goalkeeping department as well, like, that was obviously unexpected. So, you know, players aren't operating at the same level like they were, as they were previously. So, yeah, that's going to result in table positions like this.
Yeah, so I'm going to go C. What are you going?
C.
Okay. Sligo Rovers.
Not much expected. They've had some really good results this season. A few, to be clear.
They're four points better off than last year.
Yeah, how many goals last year did they have scored?
They had scored 23 and conceded 34. They have only scored 15, but they have conceded fewer with 27, but 15 and 19 goals. Jeez, that's actually no surprise, because we spoke about from the very get-go.
Yeah.
Look, Keane Cavan is not going to be your man. They lost Owen Elding at near enough the 11th hour.
Yeah,
that's the Elding money has to be used now in the summer.
Yeah, and it was never going to be a real runner that they were going to replace his goals at handy. And it was always going to be difficult for Keane Kavanagh, as much as, say, we wouldn't be huge fans. At the same time, he's in a team that's at the bottom of the table.
Like, there has been a few good stories in that Sligo team. Let me just drag it up here on my screen. I just want to make sure I have the right names here before I start launching them out. But I think Asua has been probably one of the big success stories this season. I think he's been very good. We saw, obviously, McHugh get the winner up in Tala. I mean, O'Kane's been in and out with injury. Now, he scored against Bowes the other day, so hopefully that'll get him back on track. I think Asua has been the big success. And I think Sam Sargent, I know he was there last year, but I think he's had a decent season as well. So,
And just for people that mightn't just be too familiar, where does Asua play?
Left back. Position? Left, more like a wing back, really.
Yeah. Yeah, so
signed from Galway. Yeah, no, he's been good.
No, he has been good, but my point is, like, you know, it's not that much of a position that's going to really be a game changer for your entire, you know, the outlook on your season.
Well, look, as they say, the wing backs has to play more involved in modern football these days. Yeah. But no, but we're not talking about centre forwards and number tens there. You know, Will Fitzgerald pops up with a goal every now and again. But they need a centre forward.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly. 15 goals.
I mean, they've conceded less. They've conceded. Nobody would have thought at the halfway stage they'd concede less than Galway. They've conceded less than Drogheda, who were so strong last season, and they obviously conceded way less than Waterford. So if they can start scoring more goals and keep the same defensive record, they should pull away from those teams around them.
Yeah, you would think so, but that's easier, very much easier said than
done.
Oh,
I know that.
But they do need to get clever in the window.
But look, to be fair to Sligo, they usually pull a striker out of somewhere. Aidan Keane, Max Matta, obviously Owen Elding coming through. They've had good success with strikers in recent years, so hopefully they can find another one from somewhere. What about the bottom team, Waterford? I suppose up until recently, you very much would have been looking at an F, but they beat Drogheda, albeit fortuitous with the controversial decision there. They lost out to a last-minute goal in Talca, and then they did get a point on Friday against Drogheda. 8 points looks big now. I wouldn't just say it's over and done yet, though.
No, I wouldn't either. They have turned it around in the last few weeks. They did seem...
Kevin Long's doing all right since he came in there, isn't he?
Is he? Yeah, I haven't seen much of him, to be honest.
Well, he's popped up with a few goals, so we're always interested to see how, no offence, Kevin, these old-timers get on when they come back.
Yeah.
There's probably been more unsuccessful trials than successful ones in recent years, but he seems to have added a little bit to the
That's very true. There definitely has been an uptick in performances. Of course,
sure, Tommy Lonergan is up there as one of the top scorers in the division, despite the fact that they're
at the bottom
team. Yeah, doing a bit of Dave Mooney 2007 on it.
Yeah, and they're 6 goals ahead of Sligo as well. So that's going to be a lot easier of a story to, you know, when you're next, you know, it's late September and the piss and rain is back again, and you're looking at, you know, what's their manager's name again?
Coughlin.
I'm in the dressing room looking at, I was like, well, I'm glad I have Paul Diamond and Tommy Lonergan in this room. And I would definitely, you know, if I was Russell at Sligo, I'd be very envious of those two boys. You know,
yeah, 100%.
Keeping them fit will obviously be very important. But yeah, I'm not going to say it's all said and done. I think Sligo need to have a very good window, because
and I think Drogheda do as well. I think they need, because as I said, if they don't get someone to score goals, then I think they're going to end up leaving a lot of points behind them. If Waterford can just keep chiseling away, Waterford have 8 draws this season. That's after Derry, who have had 10.
Yeah.
That's the most amount of draws in the league. So look, obviously, if he can during the summer, if he can get a few more Kevin Longs in and tighten up that back line,
that's
at Waterford, he knows he's got goals in the team, and they probably haven't scored as many as we would have expected. Still, only 21 and 19. There's definitely scope for way more of a goals rate in that Waterford team. So it's not over yet. So I'm going to give them a D-. There's still hope, lads. This was only the mocks this first half of the year. You've still got time to study for the big exam and come out on top.
And like, if you want, I know we're getting into if my auntie had stones territory here, but like, if you take 5 or even 3 of those draws, that's an extra 6 points.
Mm.
And there was some miserable nights, Derry in particular, a couple of weeks ago. You know, I'm not saying they were robbed or anything like that, but it was, you know,
well, Derry and Shells, two very recent games there where they've chucked away points. So
yeah, exactly.
I mean, 8 points looks quite large at this stage of the season. If that's 6, it's a much more round number. It's okay, we beat these boys twice, we're grand, you know. So psychologically, I'm sure those results haven't helped, but at the same time, I think everyone appreciates there does seem to be signs of improvement since the change in management there. The last team that leaves us with, then, I always like to leave the league leaders to last, Shamrock Rovers. I'd be interested to get your thoughts on Rovers, because most people feel that this is not a vintage Rovers side, that they haven't hit top gear yet, to find themselves 6 points clear at the break.
But just to answer that question, what's vintage Rovers? You have no answer.
No, I appreciate your question, because I think this is kind of the same conversation we've been having for the last 2 or 3 years, to be honest.
Oh, the last 5 years.
Rovers are in second gear and they're top of the league.
Yeah, like I think it's because they have like so many players, so many lads that they can call on, you know.
Five subs.
Yeah, exactly.
Two internationals off the bench.
Like if Jack Byrne left last year and he wasn't missed for half a second. Like obviously I'm not as enamored with Jack Byrne as everybody else is. And I know I'm right on that one. But
good to see Matt Healy getting an Ireland call up as well, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. But like, you know, they tip away at teams, they get the right goals. Like it isn't oh my God, these lads are absolutely sensational, blowing teams away. It's never been like that. So I don't really get the idea about the vintage stuff, really, because what is vintage? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you want to go back to Gary Twigg banging in goals? That wasn't vintage either. Like, they were very good sides. And definitely will go down as, you know, unbelievable teams that have won titles and multiple titles. But like, I don't really understand this vintage question. Not saying that, you know, I just don't see it in the same way. You know, I wouldn't be a critical of them because, oh, they're not vintage.
But, yeah.
I don't think anybody can really define what vintage Rovers is.
Yeah, and they're actually 4 points better off than last season, so
yeah,
that would support your argument.
There you go. I still think they will win the division, though, all the same.
Yeah, so do I.
Mm. When do you think they'll do it by?
How many do I think they'll do it by?
Yeah.
Will it go down to the last day of the season?
No, not a hope.
No, no.
Stop.
I just want to see, was I right on that? No, they're only 1 point better off. I don't think that table was updating there as I was clicking on it. So they're still better off than they were last season. So, yeah, that would rubbish the argument, really, that they're not vintage. They're just doing what they've been doing over the last number of years. They're trained to do it. They're killers, aren't they? They're Terminators, as you like to say.
They're just Terminators, you know.
As we seen in the recent Dublin derby, didn't play well and got the 3 points and move on.
Yeah, move on. That's it. Like, even like you said it there, excuse me, after the loss against Derry, I think you said that, like, well, I've nothing to fear out of these lads. These are shite.
Yeah.
No, we're not quoting Stephen Bradley, but we're definitely quoting his brain because he was thinking that, because, you know, there is nothing to fear from Derry. So, like, that was at least one team that was out of the way, let's say, you know, challenger-wise. Bohemians probably won't be able to mount, you know, get that much closer. And Pat will never beat Rovers. Not never, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's not much confidence.
I think what's happened over the last few years, because they're so dominant and because they win leagues in second gear here at times, I think where
but
this
that's
Rovers
just how
team,
we feel. We feel that they're in second gear. Sorry,
but the point I was going to make, though, I think where this Rovers team is judged now is Europe.
Yeah. And
so
that's
we'll
fair.
See how they get on in the summer.
And that has to be the thing. And, you know, are they going to win another cup?
Just on that, actually, the old European season won't be far away now. Once it'll probably even start. Will it start before the World Cup? No, probably not. Or before the World Cup's over. So Rovers, who's our European contenders this year? Rovers, Bows, Pats, Shells. Yeah. Is it the 14th? Or Derry? No. So who's not in there? Pats are not in Europe.
Pats are not.
So Rovers, Bows, Derry.
Oh God.
And
Shelburne. Yeah.
How do you think we'll get on? This time last year, I can't remember the reasons why, but we were very down on our chances and we actually had a very good time of things getting two teams into the group stages. Can we hope for something similar this time around?
I think we were down because we just didn't think the teams were as good, but also we had, you know, a really, really, really kind run for Shells getting into the European competition. Don't know, taking away from them too much, but they still had to play Linfield twice.
I suppose they did beat Rijeka away, though, which was a great result. Shamrock Rovers' big result was obviously beating the Portuguese team to knock them out. So there were some really good results, but yeah, they did get Linfield twice, I suppose. Mm-hmm. You're right on that point.
It's a bit harsh, though, maybe.
Derry are obviously the big concern going into Europe. Difficult to see them beating Longford Town at the moment, never mind Linfield or whoever.
I think the issue for that is like, you know, they obviously had that nightmare in Gibraltar a couple of years ago.
Yeah. You'd be fearful of them having another one of them.
That's my point. Like, you know, you get a bunch of lads or a bunch of plumbers or whatever we like to say, plumbers and plasters, and every sort of random are showing up and doing a job on one of the most highly resourced teams in the country.
you know, and maybe it's gotten into the brains of the players where they're like, you know, we can't beat anybody. Mm. Like, it must be a tough place to be mentally, like, if, especially when, you know, the talisman of the team, James McLean, well, not talisman, but you know what I mean, biggest players having spats on Twitter with or Instagram with some other egot. So yeah, it's
Maybe they'll transform into entirely different beasts when they get onto this lovely grass pitch up at the Brandywell. That's all we can hope for. But I suppose we'll wait and see how the draws play out. You need a lot of luck. You need a lot of luck in the draws, as we know.
You do need a lot of luck, but like you can't be turning in shit results like they had against that Gibraltar team. Like if they get someone in the north or you know, Faroes or Gibraltar or Mandorah or whatever there is, you know, well, imagine how much more derailed their season would be if they lose against like the, what was that team in Gibraltar, the Ravens?
Bruno's Magpies.
Bruno's Magpies, right, there you go. Like, imagine then coming back then and then, oh shite, we have Junie Mac, we have Sligo away. You know, a nightmare, a pure nightmare. So yeah, I'd say there'd be a few boys turning up with muscle strains and stuff like that for that game.
Before we go into the hotline, just to the no predictions league this week, obviously, but we better update people on how last week went.
Yes,
you were the top scorer again. You got two correct scores. That was Rovers, Pats and Cove Kerry. You got four results. So that's how many points? 10 points for you. JHF, Shell's an Arsenal fan. So bad week for him. He got 7 points, four results, one correct score. That was in the UCD Athlone game. And I did well. I got five results, but I couldn't get any correct scores. So only 5 points. So I ended up bottom again last week. So going into the mid-season break, Gary, you have smashed the ton mark. You're on 101 points. You're now 20 points clear of the listeners on 81. And I am 30 points adrift on 71. So I'm like, I'm in a Waterford situation.
You are indeed. Yeah, you need to get a few signings in during the summer.
Yeah, definitely. Look, before we go, let's look at the hotline. We said we were recording and we were going to be giving our mid-season report card. So we asked people to weigh in with their opinions and if they had any other comments for the hotline. They were more than welcome to give them to us. KM2 Archive, Killian, the Bose fan, he's rated the entire Premier Division for us here. Rover C, I don't know, should I bother reading out the rest of this now? Bose B, Pat C, Dundalk A, so we got one right at least. Shell C, yeah. Derry E, Galway C, Drogheda C, Sligo D, Waterford E. So I'd agree with most of those apart from the Rovers one. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. But like, no, I think that's fair shooting there.
Yeah, fair enough. Emmett, for Wexford would have to be a C. Some positive signs have shown we can beat anyone bar Cork, but we have also shown we can lose to anyone. I think that goes for most of the division. Home form been good, away form been poor. Probably need another few bodies in the window.
Also, he has to add Longford Town to that Cork list. Can't beat Longford.
Ever. Keith Murphy, Bose C+, on the face of it. Second in the league and joint top scorers. That grade might seem low, but we went a quarter of the season without a win, have conceded a lot of sloppy goals, let Rovers off the hook twice, and just haven't been clinical enough at times. Harsh, maybe.
I think that is harsh because like they have, you know, their table position is, well, obviously it doesn't lie, but like it is a marked improvement on previous seasons. It is, I think, if they could get, obviously they're frustrated with some of those stats because he is right.
Yeah.
You know, went a good chunk of the season without a win. And it, yes, of course, that is frustrating. And some of the chances that they've left behind. But like, you know, you're still second in the division after 20 games. It's not too bad.
Do you think Rennie has the scope for another run like that this season?
Of going a heap of games without winning?
Yeah. If they win another 8 or 9, do you think curtains?
No, I don't.
No. Depends what they do in Europe, I suppose.
He'll have Europe. So, like, you know.
But then again, it's no point. If they went on a great run in Europe and finished fifth, that's no good. So. Yeah, but need to be more consistent. It's very easy for us to say, but they have to find some consistency. And I think the only way they'll do that is by getting a striker in.
Yeah, but that's very good for Bowes. You know, he had a jolly, went to Timbuktu, had a few pints, had a great time. We won't have it next year, but we had that year. Hmm. Remember I said a couple of years ago about Bowes or whenever it was, like it's remember when.
Yeah.
You know, like someone got onto us there, or someone tweeted it was like 16 years without a trophy. What's that about, like? And then, you know, Panathinaikos this and Aviva that. If they did finish fifth and they bet some okay team that no one had ever heard of before in Europe and had a good away trip, I think that would unfortunately satisfy a lot of Bulls fans.
So what you're saying is to be what second at this moment in time is good super. Going.
It's very good going, and I think C is harsh.
Okay.
Very harsh.
Nathan O'Reilly, Kerry FC grade for this season, D. Dreadful away record continued with the loss to Cove on Friday. Too many points dropped from winning positions. Best performance of the season was the 1-0 win against Cork. One of the worst games was the 1-0 loss to Longford. Awful performance. I think we touched on how poor they were in that game.
It's actually memorable how poor they were in that game. And actually, one thing I will say, just on obviously a Longford track, Longford Town managed to dig out a 1-1 draw down there, which would have been not unheard of, but like very difficult for Longford down in recent years.
I watched bits of that game as well. That was horrific. That was absolutely dire football that night. So yeah, no, bad season for Kerry so far. Another Kerry grade coming in here from Jason O'Sullivan. Kerry FC grade D, haven't won an away game in over a year. Lack of consistency is really frustrating. We can show that there's a decent team there, beating Cork City 1-0, but overall we are lucky not to be last. Massively disappointing so far. I think that's a very good point from Jason there.
But just on the Cork thing, yeah, that is a high point in the year, there's no doubt about it, but that doesn't mask the fact
it's also a freak result.
That's what I mean. It's a complete freak result.
It's,
you know what I mean?
It's long for beating Galway twice in 23 when they hadn't barely won another game all season. You know, it's no good to anyone, really.
It's no good to anyone, but it was enjoyable at the time.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
You'd rather be Athlone, Bray and Longford, three wins in a row, than beat Cork and not win any. Do you know what I mean?
Like, absolutely. I'd rather lose 5-0 to Cork and win those three games.
Yeah. Owen Bray, C. First couple of months were poor, but these last few weeks have given huge hope. Battered everyone in the playoffs currently at one point. Found the goals, and lads like Akara, Tucker, Cisse, finally settling in and very good. Hopefully can continue the momentum after the break. And Mark Gaff says, considering everyone said Dundalk will be going down, we've had the best underdog season and will be back up to the top soon.
Oh, is that so? I don't believe that, but
definitely, if there was a best vibes award of the season, it would be going to Dundalk right now. Everything is hunky dory there at the minute. Although we shouldn't use the hunky dory analogy, that's Drogheda, but everything's rosy in the Oriel Park Garden.
Yeah, it is, and that's fantastic. You know, hopefully, there's no more, as you mentioned. It's been very quiet up there in a good way.
Yeah.
And hopefully that continues for a long time.
Yeah, 100%. Sure, that's it for the first half of the season. We might take next week off. We'll see how we feel.
This is just you trying to reel me in the predictions league.
Go and edit the spreadsheet during the off-season.
Yeah. What are you going to look forward to the break? Or are you sad there's no...
Don't really have a massive, you know, whatever. I can go a week without football.
Yeah, doing that nice on the week off.
No, not really. I'm going to the old Galgorm this weekend.
What's that?
The Galgorm in Belfast. It's outside Belfast. You know, the fancy spot, hotel, spa, etc.
A hotel. Okay, I didn't know.
You've never heard of the Galgorm?
No.
What?
No.
We can tell you don't treat the missus too often.
She doesn't deserve it.
Look it up there at some stage.
All right, okay.
I'll give my review when we're back.
Oh, very good. Yeah, yeah. Jesus, boys, is it, look at this now. He won't eat kebab, so he doesn't do the kebab review. Now he's doing 5-star hotels.
Hotel up reviews. Bombasas.
Jesus Christ. Man of the people, me whole.
But yeah, look, we'll probably take next week off. I think we deserve it.
I don't know. I'm away myself out of the country.
There we go. That's open and shut case. That'll do. Yeah. So we'll see everyone.
Okay, but
weeks.
Yeah, fair enough. But I'll tell you one thing. You're gonna do predictions next week.
Okay, we'll put them up on Twitter.
Yeah.
And this man is very keen to build on that lead.
Yeah. Let's go.
Look, that's it. That was the latest episode of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Thanks to everyone that's tuned in across the first half of the season. Keep on tuning in the second half of the season. We are brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And thanks to our charity bet partners, Bar One Bet. No charity bet this week, but we'll do one again next week. We'll put that up on X as well, so keep an eye out for that. But from Kieran, from Gary, enjoy the mid-season break, and we'll all catch up again in a couple of weeks' time.
Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news by following Between the Stripes on X. Until next time, thanks for listening.